Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Man, that was good. How are you today? Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. Guys, did you get something for your gals? Good. You still have 12 hours before the day is finished, if you didn't, so serve as your little reminder. We're going to start today. I got one other announcement that was handed to me, and I want to make sure you know. There will be a memorial service tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Portland Central Church of the Nazarene, and this is for Mabel Lay, Donna Huntley's mother. So again, tomorrow, 11 a.m., Portland Central Church of the Nazarene, Mabel Lay, Donna Huntley's mother, a memorial service tomorrow. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the honor and privilege and the opportunity to be in your house. God, to worship you. And I pray that as we go into these next few moments, that Father, you would just help me. That you would allow your words, your scriptures, to just come alive. That Lord, as we look in Colossians here, that it would be your truth that would just find its way deep into our hearts. God, I love this passage. It's so potent. And I just pray that you just allow me to do it justice. May they be your words, Lord, I pray. In your name. Amen. Colossians chapter 4. If you want to take your Bible, and I purposely don't have the scriptures on the screen this time, because I want you to continue to be in the habit of using your Bible. And if you didn't bring your Bible or you don't have one, there is a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And if you want to take that Bible, open it up and turn to Colossians chapter 4. It's on page 161. Now, what's interesting about the Bible in the pew rack is it numbers 1 through 600 and something for the Old Testament and 1 through 200 and something or 300 and something for the New Testament. So go to the last third of that Bible and find page 161, and an easy way for you to find Colossians. I looked it up for you. Colossians 4, chapter 2 through 6. And what's interesting here about this, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, what's interesting about this passage is Paul ends up ending his letter to the church at Colossae much the same way as he began it. He started it with urging his readers to prayer, and he's going to end it with urging his readers to prayer. And we've been going through this Unleash series for quite some time. And just since in January and February, we've done rules, suggestions, and way of life. So freedom from rules. We've done the elevated living, which was saying, you know what, there's a new life in Christ. And so you have a new opportunity and a new way to live. We have exterminating living, which meant get out the old. Because there's that new life, get out the old. Renovated living, put in the new, because when you get something, you need to replace it. We have the unleashed to enjoy my family, unleashed to affect my workplace, which is saying, you've changed, new opportunities for you, so there's a new way to live. And so today, we have an opportunity to impact our community. That Paul has been building up to this for the people in Colossae, and he's been saying, okay, new ways, new life. You got the old out, you got the junk out, you put the new in, and now you're going to treat your family differently, and you're going to treat those you work with differently. And now that you're just a different person, let's go back to prayer, because you need it, and you're going to need the power of the Spirit and the strength that He gives. And now I want you to take it, and I want you to impact the community around you. And that's what we're going to look at. And I love this passage. And when Pastor Tim was going through his schedule and figuring out when he was going to be able to take some time away, and it fell onto this passage, I was thankful. Much more thankful that he did this one rather than that he did the family one and he gave me this. because it's just a great passage, and I love what it says. I am about evangelism. I am about impacting my world for Christ. I'm about sharing the love of Jesus. And that's who I am. That's who I exude. I want to exude Jesus. I've always said that one of my models and my mantra is that it doesn't matter what kind of method you use to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ, as long as the message doesn't change. The message stays the same, then the methods can change. And I'm all about doing that. And Paul talks about that today in this passage. He talks about how we can do that with our community, excuse me. So open it up, turn to chapter 4. Let's read verses 2 through 6. And I want you to stand and let's just honor God's words. And let's read these together. I'll read them for you. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. The translations on this passage from the NIV to the NASB to the NLT to the New Revised Standard, they tend to be very similar. There's some incredible nuances in the Greek, but all our versions happen to say the same thing. Read with me as I read from the NLT. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. The word of our Lord. Go ahead and be seated. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward passage. If you were to outline this passage, you'd probably come up with the same 4 points that I've got today, but I want to break down a few of those things. As I said, there's some nuances here in the original languages and in the Greek that I want to break out for you and say that when Paul was writing from prison in chains, as he mentions it, that the readers would have understood because it was their native language, something that we've kind of lost in translation throughout the years. But the first point that you want to pull out of this is simply devote yourselves to prayer. As I mentioned, Paul starts Colossians with this emphasis for his people that he's writing to. And he's saying, you need to be in prayer. It's constantly in prayer. And he's ending it in this. But he kind of puts some caveats with this one. And the biggest thing that I want to sit there is we're looking at the complexity of the Greek here and the word translated. Devote yourself to prayer literally means persist in. So he wants you to persist in your prayer. It is important. That's the tapping in to that lifeline that God gives you, to the Holy Spirit. We talked today in our Sunday school class for the youth, we talked about the living water, and we talked about how it was important to constantly go back to God, who is the living water, because He's the one that refreshes you. So that when you spend those times out in the desert and you spend those times away and you become dry and you run down, that you have to go back to Him because He's the one that refills you. He's the one that refreshes you. And so Paul is saying, persist in prayer. And that when you're doing this and devoting yourself to Him, He's going to fill you up. Paul is concerned about it being a general watchfulness and concern for your ministry and for who you are and for how you're living your life. And what we end up seeing in here is that this is what he wanted to characterize the Colossae church with. Our church, Hillcrest Church in the Nazarene, much like the church here, 20 centuries ago now, needs to be one that's characterized in prayer. We need to be going to God and saying, God, help us. God, fill us. God, renew us. And we need to pray with a mental alertness. Persist in it. Say, being purposeful, intentional. Earlier, Pastor Dick took us into an opportunity to just silence. And I don't know about you, but sometimes silence becomes uncomfortable. But often we need to be silent before God, because when we're persisting in prayer and asking for Him to fill us, we need to be able to hear Him and listen to Him. And if we fill it too often with the words out of our mouth and the things that we say and the things that we do, we're not going to hear what He has to say. But prayer needs to be informed, it needs to be purposeful, it needs to be personal, and it needs to be powerful. And you get that when you go to God. So pray constantly. Don't be distracted. And so that's prayer. He just says, devote yourself with prayer. Persist in prayer. But then in the second part of verse 2 there, 2b, he says, stay alert. He says, stay alert. Because life can get discouraging. I don't know about you, but sometimes life just gets me down. It just seems one thing after another, you just keep running up against. As many steps as you take forward, it seems like you get knocked back twice as many sometimes. And life can get discouraging. But he wants you to be alert, and he says thankfulness is a great place to start. When you persist in prayer and you go to God, and I like how Pastor Dick said it, that we're going to be in silent prayer, and then we're going to go to this opportunity of corporate prayer where I'm going to lead you in praise of our Father. And that's what we do, is we go to Him and we just say, God, wow. You're awesome. And when you go to God in an attitude like that, it doesn't matter what your life is like. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter what's knocking you down or tearing you away from, you know, living a joyous life. If you're focusing on praise of God, it can't help but be good. Imagine it this way. I was reading a book in the last month or 6 weeks or so, and it talked about prayer, and it talked about how prayer ended up being so new and reinvigorating and joyous for this individual. And it was simply from this one fact that changed this individual's prayer life. He sat there and he goes, you know, I've always prayed, but it felt kind of just repetitive. And I wasn't sure what to say or how to say it or even how to listen to God. But I started realizing about who God was, and I started imagining this thing before I prayed. I imagined that very moment that I'd be in Jesus' presence. I imagined that first time that when I closed my eyes and I sat there and I thought about what would it be like the very first time when I saw Jesus' face in His presence, realizing Him in all His glory, trying to even describe Him as the prophet Isaiah did in the first few chapters of Isaiah. They're just sitting there saying, what would this splendor be like? And the minute that I started realizing that and trying to figure out what are my first words going to be, that's the attitude that I went to God with in my prayer life. So that when I was staying alert in my prayer and I was doing it through a thankfulness and just saying, God, keep me focused and sharp because of who You are and the awesomeness of what You are. So I challenge you to try that the next time. Keep getting this popping sound. Am I hitting something here? Devote yourself to prayer. Stay alert. Do so with thanksgiving. Imagine yourself in God's presence. I want to break out some of the Greek here for you. And the word we got in this, and when he talks about an open door, that the word here is thura. And it literally means door. And it is the Greek for door. But we can translate it as an opportunity for doing something. And so when Paul prays here, or when he writes, he says, pray for us too, that we have many opportunities to think about Christ. He's ended up saying, those many opportunities is a door. He wants the opportunity to do something. Acts 14:27. Let me read this to you. Paul is talking about his trip to Antioch. And he sits there and he says, upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church. He came back to Antioch from his missionary journeys. He called the church together and they reported everything God had done through them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Or in 1 Corinthians 16:9, he says, there is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. Paul is talking about this opportunity to do something. And he's sitting there and he's saying, when you're praying and you're staying alert and you're being thankful, pray and be thankful and look for that open door. Look for that opportunity to see Jesus communicated in a marvelous way. And in verse 4, where he says, I want to be able to proclaim it clearly then. Look for the open door, proclaim it clearly. Third point we want to see, now let's skip down to 5 and 6. And this is where I want to take most of my time today. You see that you want to pray, and you want to be thankful, and you want to stay alert. But here he says you need to walk wisely. And why does Paul say that? Paul says that because people are going to be watching you. Now comes the evangelistic part of what Paul is saying. He's saying, go to God, get refreshed, keep tapped in, get the living water. But now, remember, you have to live a certain way. You have to conduct yourself with wisdom to live wisely, to walk wisely. And he does so for two things. First thing you're going to walk wisely for and to live wisely for is that proper Christian testimony. As I mentioned, people are going to be watching you. They're going to be watching me. And if your walk doesn't match your talk, that open door that you're praying for, that Paul's asking for, it's going to slam shut. It's going to be confusing. You're going to be giving people a mixed message, a mixed metaphor. That's no good. You need to have a proper testimony for those who are outside the church, for those that don't know Jesus, for those that the word hasn't been delivered to, for those that you don't have an opportunity but maybe once or twice to run into or to talk to, that you don't have an opportunity to teach and to constantly counsel with. That's what Paul's saying. For those that haven't been revealed the glory of the good news. Paul wanted the Colossians to know wisdom, and he spent the first few chapters doing this, and now he's saying, I want you to live the wisdom. Live wisely. Walk wisely. Be wise. And then the second thing is, you do it not only for a proper testimony, for a proper Christian testimony, but you need to do it to make sure that you make the most of every opportunity. That when that opportunity does come, you can pounce on it. Live wisely so you know when the opportunity is there and that when you can do it. And then in verse 6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. Some of your translations say, let it be seasoned with salt. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. It's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. If you know much about salt, you know that there's basically three different uses for salt. Salt, first of all, will preserve food. It'll keep it from spoiling if you salt something. It keeps it safe to eat a much longer period than if you keep it in its natural environment. It sterilizes food. It can also be kind of an antiseptic, cleaning things out. And it seasons food. It helps it to taste better. Paul here in this scripture, he's talking about the flavoring agent or the flavoring aspect of this food. And he's saying that our speech needs to make sense and be relevant. That when you're saying that your speech be seasoned with salt, and he's saying it in such a way as saying this is a flavoring agent, that when you talk to people, you need to be able to make sense. You need to make sure that you're relevant to what they do, to what they need. This is more about the method than the content. The message is the same. It's all about the love about Jesus Christ. But now this is where the method becomes important. And we as a church, and we as a people, need to figure out how is our method best conveyed? How do we reach this world around us? What do we do? One of the things we've been doing is this messy church on Saturday nights. Pastor Connie had met with her friend who's a minister in England, and they went to school together, and they did something like this, and they started talking about an opportunity for us to do it here. She came back, and her and I talked a lot, and we talked with Pastor Tim, and we prayed about it, and we said, you know what, this is different. It's outside the box. But we'll be able to communicate the method of the message of the gospel through different methods. It's kind of like using today's technologies where we end up using stuff like these PowerPoints. We use video. We use different sorts of media. We use our website. One of the things that we've been trying to do is change our website so that when people want to look and find out a little bit about Hillcrest Nazarene, they're going to sit at home and they're going to go to their website. I'm sure 95% of you here, when you're given the opportunity, you're going to check something out by its webpage and say, well, let me know a little bit more about that. What's your web address? Or you see a sign and you read it and you go there. It's a new method for proclaiming the gospel, for saying a little bit about who we are, a loving, living, learning community. And so we start to use these methods, and what we're doing is we're using this speech and we're seasoning it with salt. We're making it relevant. We're saying, God, we're praying, we're alert, we're trying to walk wisely, but now, when those open doors come and those opportunities prevail, present themselves, let me say the right things. And let me say it in the right way. God here in this verse, through Paul, is asking us to be change agents in this world. Salt is a change agent. Salt changes the things that it touches. Something is much different after salt has been added than it was before. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. God gives us an imperative. He's talking about it here on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's telling those that are listening and saying, you are. Not you might be, not you ought to be, not you should be. You are the salt of the earth. And he continues in that verse, and he says, what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? How do you keep your flavor? You keep going back. It's that prayer. It's what he starts with. He started Colossians with it. He's ending Colossians with it. Go to God. Go to the living water. Tap into it. Fill yourself up. Be refreshed and renewed. Why? Because you're salty. You need to be salt. Salt is active and it changes things about when it touches. For salt, it's all about proximity, right? I mean, literally, proximity. I mean, salt can be right here and the food can be right here, but as they're never touching, nothing happens. But if they happen to bump into each other, that's where the change is affected. That's where the impact occurs. And it's an easy road to look at how we can apply that to our lives. If we're the salt, if we're supposed to be the change agents, if our speech is to be seasoned with salt so that people will understand, be changed, be affected, be impacted, all those things, how's that going to happen if we're not out there? How's that going to happen if we aren't changing the method of communicating the gospel that we're doing or how we've been doing it? How's that going to happen if we sit there and we stay within the four walls of our Sunday morning kingdom but refuse to be salty the rest of the week outside these walls? Where we come and we want to get renewed and refreshed and worship God and imagine those moments when you're first in His steps, in His presence, praising Him and saying, God, rub off on me. But then you don't go rub off on someone else. That's salt. And there's a ton of uses for salt. Right? Over 14,000. You look it up. You can Google it. There's 14,000 different uses. I've found some different sites. And you can all think of them, right? Did you know that Venice, salt was so valuable? It was so important so that when they heard this, when Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, when he said, you're the salt of the world, they understood that it was so valuable. Okay? contracts were signed, sealed, and delivered with the purchase of salt and the delivering of salt. The city of Venice, Italy, the whole city was purchased. The original purchase was with salt. That's how it was paid for. In our economy, the way the dollar's going and everything, I don't know, maybe start investing in salt. Maybe that's where we go. But salt does other things, right? Kills slugs. Have you ever done that with salt? Okay. It's a change agent. Pour it on there, it changes those slugs. Melts ice, it purifies. But you know, it actually will take the bitterness out of a pot of coffee. If coffee's too bitter, you put some salt in it. And how about this? How many of you own a goldfish? You can give a salt bath to a goldfish. Give it a 15-minute swing and it refreshes, swim and it refreshes that goldfish. Don't keep it in the salt water, but take it back out after 15 or 20 minutes. But it refreshes a goldfish. I always kill goldfish, so I don't know if that really works. But salt does three things. It invests itself fully into what it touches. It's that proximity. But salt also has to influence. If you're salt, and Jesus is telling us you're salt, he's telling me I'm salt, then he's telling me that I have to influence. I need to be an influencer. I need to change my world. Luke 14, verses 34 and 35. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is neither good for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's simply thrown away. Don't lose your saltiness. You're not even good for the manure pile if you're salty anymore, if you're not salty. You have to influence. And I want to be that person who influences. I want to be that person that has salty speech. I want to be the person that sits there and says, God, allow me to be a change agent for you. Work through me. And let me tell you, it's not through my own power, it's not through my own strength, it's not through my own gifts and graces or anything like that. I can try. And maybe it's somewhat effective, but if you're not tapped in to the Spirit and to actually have this unleashed way and new way to live life, it ain't going to happen. It isn't going to work for you. And the last thing I want to say about salt makes something more inviting. Salt makes it more inviting. You can also get a little too much salt. Too much salt's a bad thing. Not enough could be better. But you have to find out what's just the right amount. And that's that being relevant piece to this world. So when you look at this passage, and it just seems, and it is, it's so straightforward. Devote yourself with prayer. Stay alert. Doing so, being thankful. Staying alert by being thankful and looking for those opportunities, for that open door, that time when you can do something. And pray for it. Paul says, pray for me that even while I'm in chains, I can have the opportunity to say something. I'm in chains because I did say something. But now that I'm here, pray that I have even more opportunity to do so. Most of the letters that we read today out of the New Testament are ones that were written while he was in prison. What a great opportunity he's done to affect his world, to impact his community, centuries removed. But then to walk wisely, because people are going to look at you and they're going to see how you act and they're going to see how you respond and be flavored with salt. Because when you're in the world and you're walking wisely, and you're living those certain ways, you can still preach the message. You can still rub up against society. Be in this world, but not of this world. Being to where the people need the salt and need the message. And you can be that change agent. It's about impacting your community. Now that you've changed and you realize what these lessons are through Unleashed, it's about impacting your community. And so, I alluded to the fact that I've been thinking about those opportunities of, or that one opportunity that I'm going to get someday to stand in front of Jesus for that first time. And He's going to, I don't know how I'll react. I don't know if I can stand, sit, fall down. It's like a Mercy Me song. Will I dance in His presence? What? I don't know. But I'm trying to think about that. And He's talking to me about my life. He's talking to me about the opportunities that I've had as a pastor. Then I want Him to say one thing. And I remind Him about that, what that one thing that I want Him to say to me. I carry this little vial of salt. It happens to be purple salt, which is a different sermon, and a different pastor friend of mine preached a sermon about purple salt. And it was all about being remarkable and being different. And when you see purple salt, that just kind of makes you think about being remarkable and being different. But I have this little vial of salt that sits in my office, and I look at it, and I sit there and I think, am I a change agent? Am I affecting and impacting what I touch for the kingdom? And every time I look at that, it reminds me of that opportunity that I'm going to have standing in front of God, standing in front of Jesus. And when He sits there and He says, I don't want God to sit there and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want Him to say that to me. That's not what I want to hear. You want to know what I want to hear? I want God to say, dude, you were salty. That's what I want to hear. I want God to tell me you were salty. I think that's the best thing any of us can hear. Dude, you were salty. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, God, you're awesome. Just praise your name. I bask in your presence. I thank you for who you are and for what you've done for me. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to present you to this world. And so, Father, today, if no one remembers anything else about this passage, except for verse 6, where you tell us to let our speech be seasoned with grace and as if it were flavored with salt. That we would remember that there's a world out there that needs to know you. That there is a world out there, a community around us that needs to be impacted by your grace and by your love. And that, Lord, in Matthew 5:13, you tell us we are the salt. In Luke 14, you say, what good is it then when you lose your flavor? That, God, you would keep us salty. And you would keep us looking for that thura, for that door, for that opportunity to do something. And that our community would be changed. And that we would hear someday that we were salty. God, go with us. Allow your word to not just fall to the ground and not be impactful today. I pray that you continue to help change us. Rub off on us so we can rub on us on others. Father God, to you be the glory. To you be the honor. To you be the praise.